Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It's the 30th of June, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller check in with the news today, including a new company to set up shop in Lafayette in the ag bioscience sector. And Hoosier native Chuck Connor, ready to retire after a long career in agriculture. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast has more heat, humidity, and unstable weather. But after today, there are changes in the pattern. And Friday in the grain and oil seed markets, higher ahead of today's USDA June 30th reports. It's all straight ahead on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
A new ag bioscience company investing $400 million in Indiana and a longtime ag leader getting set to retire. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Well, an ag bioscience investment announced last year is starting to take shape here in Indiana. With more, here's Eric Pfeiffer.
Sustainia, an innovative company dedicated to manufacturing sustainable chemicals with a low carbon footprint, is planning to invest $400 million in Lafayette in collaboration with local company Premient, who will supply corn-based dextrose precursors. Sustainia will convert this renewable feedstock into bio-MEGs, which is a key chemical intermediate used in everyday products from food containers to footwear. Yuichi Hattori, Chief Financial Officer for Sustainia, says their technology could use a number of feedstocks, but they found corn to be the best. This will help drive demand for corn farmers in this part of the state.
This is a totally new challenge for farmers and for us to create a new market. Eco-friendly product is always welcome in the market recently. That is why that's a big challenge for both farmers and ourselves.
Hattori and other Sustainia officials were in Indiana last week as they continue to work toward their goal of beginning production in 2028. The plant is expected to bring nearly 200 high-wage jobs to the area. Hattori says their journey continues and may not stop at just this one plant.
Lafayette or Indiana would be a good place. So we have not decided for second plant, third plant, but we'd like to keep investment to the bio-MEG market for second plant, third plant. So Indiana would be a great price for second plant as well.
Once complete, this will be the largest bio-MEG facility in the U.S. The proximity to Purdue University was also attractive when selecting the location. With the help of organizations like Agrinovis Indiana, the Hoosier State is clearly becoming the global hub for the ag biosciences. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Well, Chuck Connor has been serving as a national ag leader in Washington, D.C. for a long time. The Benton County native and Purdue University alumnus has served as president and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives for over 16 years. Before that, he served as deputy secretary and acting secretary of USDA during President George W. Bush's administration. Chuck is officially retiring July 14th.
I will just say, you know, I've had a remarkable career, and I'm so thankful to my wife for, you know, looking after our four children while I pursued a lot of that career. And, you know, it's been a good run, and I'm thankful for it.
Chuck shared that one of the proudest moments of his career came many years ago while serving as an advisor to Senator Richard Lugar.
When I first started, the Department of Agriculture told every, you know, farmer in America how much to plant and how much to set aside. And young people today can't even imagine that there was a time when literally, you know, the government told you, you know, what, when, and how. And we've reformed all of that over the course of my career, and something that began with Senator Lugar. He felt farmers really sort of needed to get unshackled, if you will. And of course, today, all of those controls are gone. I take reflective pride in seeing, you know, those changes that we were able to bring about, because they were highly controversial at the time, but we we were successful in making our case.
What is Chuck looking forward to most when he retires?
My wife and I had 4 children, and now we're about to have our 11th grandchild. And so, you know, much of my own retirement is just spending more time with my grandchildren.
You can catch my full conversation with Indiana's own Chuck Connor. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
Another very warm, very humid day, and it will also trigger some precipitation. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Instability is going to be the key buzzword here for your Monday. This instability is coming from, well, A, warm air coming up from the south and southwest, and B, we've got a minor front that's trying to sag through from the northwest. When I say minor, I am seeing temperatures pull back just a little bit, but only about 4 to 5 degrees or so on average from ahead of the front to behind it. The main difference is the air mass that's coming in is a lot drier. Humidity values will drop. Dew points will drop fairly significantly, but it also wrings out some moisture across the Hoosier State here, especially later this afternoon, evening, and overnight. By the time we get to sunrise tomorrow morning, it is done. All in, all done today. A quarter to three quarters of an inch of precipitation coverage around 85% of the Hoosier State. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, all looking pretty doggone nice, all things considered. Good sunshine, good evaporation rates, low humidity, a very nice setup, and we're going to keep the dry weather around through the 4th of July holiday. Now, as we've been telling you back into last week, the holiday weekend is going to get interrupted at some point. We are now shifting the focal point of that back ever so slightly. I think overnight, the 5th through the 6th is when we see our next little wave of moisture coming through. The good news is, it's not over the top. I think we're looking at finishing the holiday weekend with a tenth to half an inch across about 75% of the Hoosier State. And then for next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, warmer and more humid air tries to come back, and that could create some instability. At the same time, we're seeing strong high pressure try and move in over southern parts of Ontario and the Great Lakes. If we can fall underneath that umbrella, I think we may end up staying dry the second half of next week on through the following weekend. So we'll have to see how everything comes together, but right now more dry air than wet weather in my forecast. We'll just have to see how it evolves going forward. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
We end the week with some gains. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Ian DeEubank. Final numbers from higher corn, beans, and wheat Friday coming up. First, market analysis, which I grabbed at the end of the session from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Markets moving a little higher on Friday, a welcome sight after being on the defensive throughout the week up until that point. So, Brian, finally a little relief. It's not a lot, but just a little helps anyway.
Yeah, it certainly was a bearish week last week. New contract lows, not only in old crop corn, but also new crop corn. And actually, the soybean meal price made the lowest price, Andy, in over 9 years. So, yeah, we definitely saw these markets get pummeled last week. I think we're seeing some short covering here ahead of the weekend. On Monday, June 30th, at noon Eastern time, USDA will release two reports. The acreage report will update the 2025 plantings, corn, beans, all the major commodities. That survey was taken the first 2 weeks of June. And the other report, Andy, is the quarterly grain stocks report. It only comes out 4 times a year. It'll give us an update of the June 1 on and off farm inventories. Historically, Andy, those markets have shown the potential, underline the word potential, not guarantee, of course, but potential for increased price volatility with surprises. both bullish and bearish. So that'll be at noon Eastern time Monday. In the afternoon on Monday, National Weather Service will release their 30-day forecast for the month of July. So I think that there's some short covering ahead of those events. And of course, when we get in, turn the calendar over here to the month of July, it's time for corn pollination, and everybody be attuned to the weather. That'll be another factor, obviously, that will be on the market's front burner. And of course, Andy, we have to throw in the whole mix of the trade situation with some any developments there. But yeah, I think after the pummeling the market took last week, some short covering here to wrap up the trading week.
What's your assessment of current weather conditions mixed with forecasts and what the opportunity is for this crop this year and the resultant impact on the market as we see it right now?
I guess the best way that I'd say it today, Andy, at the end of June, is that both corn and soybean crops, in my opinion, have full potential. Again, I understand that some areas had a struggle planting this spring. So maybe there are areas that don't quite have that, but generally speaking, the U.S. yield has full potential still. Having said that, there have been years where we've gone into this time period with full potential. And for a variety of reasons, that scenario hasn't played out. But there have been other years where we've gone into full potential and it's exceeded full potential. So that's the best way that I can say it, is that the crops are generally nationwide in good shape. There have been other years where it's been better, and there have been other years where it's been worse. But I think as we enter the critical reproductive stage here for corn, the next month to 6 weeks, and we start to enter that period for beans at the end of July, yes, I think we can still raise trend yield or above for both crops. But to get to that point, it's a long way with each day holding some critical pieces to the production puzzle.
Speaking of critical, this is getting to be a critical time for farmers who are looking at the board and what it's done through the course of this week. Any thoughts that you'd like to share with them?
I think when you're looking at the corn market, Andy, I know not every listener out there does this, but I understand that quite a few listeners do. And that's purchased crop insurance earlier this year. And with that rally that we saw in corn futures early in 2025, 470 base crop insurance price established there in February, gives at least a floor, not too far below where the market's trading. But I would add this one caveat to that, Andy. It gives you a floor for your APH. It does not give you a floor for those bushels above that APH. So just a reminder that if you're expecting to grow 220 bushel corn on your APH and you grow 250, that's 30 bushels that are vulnerable below what your crop insurance protection provides. So just a reminder there. So, but I think for corn, for beans, it's a little further away, that protection price is. But in terms of marketing, I think a producer certainly wants to be looking at remaining still very flexible as we enter this critical growing season. Avoid boxing yourself or painting yourself into a corner, if you will, with any type of marketing strategy. Give yourself flexibility to see this market rebound. If it were to rebound, give yourself that flexibility. And be prepared. Have some price targets in mind, whether it's price targets to purchase options or price targets to make forward sales.
Comments from Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. Now the final numbers from Friday trade. Up 8 cents on July corn, 417.5. September, 411.5, a gain of 7.5. Dees contract goes 6 higher, 427. A nickel better on July beans, 1027.75. August, 1033.25, up a nickel and a half. November, up 8.25, 1024.75. And July wheat ends at 524.75, a gain of 3.75. Solid in the cattle market, August live cattle, 213.30, up $4.10. And the August lean hogs, 110.27, up 2. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.